Brilliant. Am I on? Well, we've had to sit down a bit and listen a lot, so why don't you just, before we start, turn to the person next to you and give a highlight of your weekend and something you're looking forward to this Christmas. Go for it. Jim, I'll grab your attention back. Lots away at Sizewell. Here having a fantastic time. If you're visiting with us, as Tim said, you are so welcome. My name is George, and it's my honor to bring the word this morning, which is exciting. I've been married for over 2 years now. Yeah, it's exciting, yeah. And well done, Jess, yeah, well done. And there seems to be a question that keeps arising in our marriage. And this question arises before we leave the house. So we're getting ready to go, and we're getting ourselves organized, and we're getting things together. And Jess will say to me, George, how do I look? And I don't know if many husbands get this a lot. And it's our husband's duty to say to your wife, Jess, or you know, your wife, you look beautiful. You look wonderful. Yes, your outfit goes, your earrings go, your dress, and your shoes is the right footwear. And there's certain responses that actually we should respond to our wives. And speaking to the husbands in the room. One time, Jess comes out, she's about to go out, and she says to me, George, how do I look? And I say to Jess, Jess, you look comfortable. Now, you can tell we've been married for 2 years. A note for husbands, do not tell your wives they look comfortable. I thought it was a compliment, but wasn't. A few months ago, I said to God, God, how do I look? How do I look? And you know what I believe he said to me? George, you look comfortable. You look comfortable. In Corinthians, it talks about God being our comforter, someone that we run to, our refuge, our place where we find safety. But we have to determine the difference between God being our comforter and being comfortable in our faith. And when I'm talking about being comfortable, I'm talking about almost being stagnant in our faith because things are going well, life is good. And we can get to a point where we can find ourselves where we're comfortable, where we don't want to move any further with God because life can just be good. As human beings, we're designed and created to reach for the more. Psychiatrists have done researches to say that actually human beings, if they're reaching for a goal or aiming for a goal, they find it more satisfying and more enjoyable for the build-up. The build-up is more enjoyable than the actual when they achieve the goal, when they achieve what they're aiming for. So for example, if an athlete was aiming for a gold medal in their life, actually what they find more enjoyable, more satisfying, is the build-up to that event. We're created to grow well and to do well. And this morning, if I was to give this word a talk, a title, it would be, Are You Sitting Comfortably? Jess and I, we did an evening service a few weeks ago about stepping into the more of God. And as we've stepped into this building, there's almost like this new expectation for us to step into the more that God has for our lives. And just as I was preparing this week, I couldn't kind of get away from this whole being comfortable, stepping into the more. And I thought, God, I can't preach on this. I can't speak on this because we did it a few weeks ago. But every time I went away from it and to try and do something else, I just kept being brought back to this whole thing of being comfortable and moving forward in God. So we're going to look at a man this morning who I think had an amazing call over his life, that who I believe went through a season of where he was comfortable, and God had called him out into an area that was unknown to him. And that man is Moses. So we're going to read from Exodus 2:11. The words are going to come up on the screen. If you'd like to follow along, you can. This is going to be from the New Living Translation. So we'll read this together. Many years later, when Moses had grown up, he went out to visit his own people, the Hebrews, and he saw how hard they were forced to work. During his visit, he saw an Egyptian beating one of his fellow Hebrews. After looking in all the directions to make sure no one was watching, Moses killed an Egyptian and hid the body in the sand. The next day, when Moses went out to visit his people again, he saw two Hebrew men fighting. "Why are you beating up your friend?" Moses said to the one who had started the fight. The man replied, "Who appointed you to be our prince and judge and going to kill me? Are you going to kill me as you killed the Egyptian yesterday?" Then Moses was afraid, thinking, "Everyone knows what I did." And sure enough, Pharaoh heard what had happened, and he tried to kill Moses. But Moses fled from Pharaoh and went to live in the land of Midian. When Moses arrived in Midian, he sat down beside a well. Now the priest of Midian had seven daughters, who came as usual to draw water and fill the water troughs from the father's flocks. But some of the shepherds came and chased them away. So Moses jumped up and rescued the girls from the shepherds. Then he drew the water from their flocks. When the girls returned to Reuel, their father, also known as Jethro, he asked, "Why are you back so soon today?" "An Egyptian rescued us from the shepherds," they answered. "And then he drew water for us and water for our flocks." "Then where is he?" their father asked. "Why did you leave him there?" "Invite him to come and eat with us." Moses accepted the invitation and he settled there with him. In time, Reuel gave Moses' daughter Zipporah to be his wife. Later, she gave birth to a son, and Moses named him Gershom. For he explained, "I have been a foreigner in a foreign land." Years passed and the king of Egypt died, but the Israelites continued to groan under their burden of slavery. They cried out for help, and their cry rose up to God. God heard their groaning, and he remembered his covenant promise to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. He looked down on the people of Israel and knew it was time to act. And then we move over to chapter 3. One day, Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led the flock far into the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of a bush. Moses stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it didn't burn up. "This is amazing," Moses said to himself. "Why isn't that bush burning up? I must go see it." When the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called to him from the middle of the bush, "Moses, Moses." "Here I am," Moses replied. "Do not come any closer," the Lord warned. "Take your sandals off, for you are standing on holy ground. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." When Moses heard this, he covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord told him, "I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. Yes, I am aware of their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt into their own fertile, spacious land. It is a land flowing with milk and honey, the land where the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites now live. Look, the cry of the people of Israel has reached me, and I have seen how harsh the Egyptians abuse them. Now go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people, Israel, out of Egypt." But Moses protested to God, "For who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt?" God answered, "I will be with you, and this is your sign that I am the one who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God at this very mountain." But Moses protested, "If I go to the people of Israel and tell them, 'The God of your ancestors has sent me to you,' they will ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what should I tell them?" God replied to Moses, "I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" God also said to Moses, "Say this to the people of Israel, Yahweh, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my eternal name, and this is my name to remember for all generations. Moses was on a journey where God had put an amazing call over his life. He had no choice but to flee to the land of Midian. He settled down with his wife, had a son. And in my translation, in verse 21, it talks about him actually settling down with his family. And I guess the question I want to ask this morning is, have we settled down in our faith? And I'm not saying that we shouldn't settle down in our life. God blesses us with stability. He blesses us with a place to live and with bills to pay and a job to go to. But have we settled in our faith? Have we settled to say, God, I'm happy where I am and I don't want to move any forward of you? And it might be that you come to church every week and you read your Bible daily and you pray, but actually you're feeling happy. You've made camp, you've pitched up your tent, and you're not wanting to move any forward with him. And I think there are two reasons why Moses set up camp, he pitched up a tent. One, his past. Who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt? And Moses, I can almost kind of see this kind of humbleness approach towards Pharaoh, this humbleness attitude of who am I to appear before Pharaoh? But I wonder if there was a bit of what he was saying was, God, who am I to appear before Pharaoh? I was guilty, I killed a man. And I wonder if there was a part of guilt that was coming into Moses' life that was having a real sense of guilt over his life. And the fact that actually, because he had a real sense of guilt over his life, he didn't feel that he could do what God was calling him to do. And sometimes what happens is we can do things wrong in our life and we can mess things up in our life, and actually it hinders us to move forward in God because we don't feel we're worthy enough. The good news is God is the God of second chances. God says that you can do what he's calling you to do because he sent Jesus so you don't have to settle. He sent Jesus so you can move forward with him. He sent Jesus so you don't have to settle. He sent Jesus so you can move forward with him. One thing that made Moses settle was his past. Another thing was that life was just really good. I can imagine that actually he's come from this position of prince, been wanting to be killed. He's moved into this role of being a shepherd. And life's just probably really easy. It's good. And I mentioned this a few weeks ago. But there was a guy called Gavin Calver, who some of you may have heard of. He's an amazing man, amazing preacher, and he works for the Evangelical Alliance. And Gavin Calver used to be the National Director for Youth for Christ. And when I started working for Youth for Christ, he was in charge and he was National Director. And he sent out to say that actually he was stepping down from his position, that he was stepping down from his role. And this announcement came as quite a surprise for people. They didn't quite see kind of why and why the reasoning was for it. And we gathered at staff conferences, which is where different kind of Youth for Christ, all the Youth for Christ centers gathered together at the start of the year. And he gave this preach. It was one of the best preachers I've heard. And he basically explained that he just got too comfortable, that life was just too good. And actually he felt that he was in a position where he wasn't going any further than what God had asked him. So he said, God has asked me to move and I need to be obedient because I've come too comfortable in my position. The blessings of God can make us blind to the more of God. You know what I believe God would have said to Moses? Is Moses, you need to wake up. You need to wake up to what I'm doing. You need to wake up to what the call that I have on your life. You need to wake up to the things that I'm doing over your life. And I believe God would say to us, for those that might feel a bit comfortable this morning, is you need to wake up. Wake up to what I'm doing and wake up to what God is calling over your life. He calls us to look up. Look up. When God calls us to something, he never leaves us on our own. He always calls us to something, and he says to Moses, I will be with you. I will walk alongside of you. I will not abandon you. But he says to Moses, Moses, you need to look up. Look up to me and look up to my glory. When God has called us to do something, it's very easy to depend on our own strength and to take our eyes off Jesus. When we look to God, we see things from a different perspective. God called Moses into a place where he was not comfortable at all. Sometimes God calls us out of our comfort zones so we find ourselves dependent on him a lot more. And we see it with Peter in the famous passage of when he steps out into the boat. He steps out of the boat, which can also be seen as a comfort zone, and he steps out and he looks at Jesus. He walks on the water. But as soon as he takes his eyes off Jesus, he begins to sink. And not only does God call us out of our comfort zone, he says, wake up, look up at what I'm doing, and look at me. Things that can stop us from looking up, distractions, pride. God asks for everything in our lives. So he says to us, wake up, look up. And he says to us, open up. We need to open up to the way that God wants to use us in our lives. I love this response. This is actually in chapter 4. But Moses pleaded with the Lord, Oh Lord, I'm not very good with words. I never have been. I'm not now. Even though you have spoken to me, I get tongue-tied and my words get tangled. I think for Moses, he would say that actually he was someone that wouldn't want to talk to people, possibly in public. He wouldn't be a public speaker. And actually, God was saying, Moses, you need to open yourselves up to the way that I want to use you, because I'm going to surprise you and I'm going to use you for my glory. And it might be that you might be sitting there and thinking, well, George, I can't sing like Mark does. I can't preach like Paul does. But it's not always about the things that go up at the front. It's about serving to the way that God has put you and placed you. In Romans 12, 6-8, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage, be encouraging. If it is given, give generously. If God has given you the leadership ability, take responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift of showing kindness to others, do it gladly. You are gifted. There are things that God has gifted you. And there will be things at times that God will ask you to do something that you're not so keen on, but you have to do it. To me, personally, I relate loads to Moses. I'm not very good with words. It sounds very strange, but a lot of the time I'll have thoughts in my head and I'll try and say stuff, but the stuff that I say won't be what I've said in my head. And I'll say stuff that I'll miss out words. I've known to make up words, and it can get a little bit embarrassing sometimes, especially if you're preaching. But you know what? I know that God has called me into it, and I've got to stand by it. And a few years ago, I can't remember what the response was, but there was a response time at High Street, and I went up for a prayer, and Will prayed for me, and he said, George, the word I'm getting for you is equipping, and I just feel like the Lord is going to equip you for what you need in the future. And for me, that was massive for me, because I was starting to do kind of more assemblies at Youth for Christ, starting to do more stuff here, and thinking that I'm not good enough, I can't do this, I can't speak very well, I get terrified in public, this is not comfort for me, I'd rather be sitting where you're sitting, but I have to stand by it. And actually, he equips you for what he has called you to do. And not only does he equip you for what he's called you to do, he sends someone alongside of you. He sent Aaron alongside Moses, and he sends along someone aside of you to do what God has asked you to do. And it's not just about the talents and the giftings you have. It's about opening you up to spiritual gifts as well. As a church, we firmly believe that the spiritual gifts are for today, and that actually we need to be practicing and to asking God, will you help me to grow in the spiritual gifts that you might feel that you have? Or maybe there's gifts in your life where you feel, God, I'd love the gift of prophecy. I'd love to speak in tongues. Go for it. Go for it. Don't hold back. Ask God for it, because he's a good father and he loves to give good gifts to his children. And he wants us to grow in him And another way we can grow in him is not only gifts and talents, but to grow in him with spiritual gifts. So he calls us to wake up, he calls us to look up, he calls us to open up, and he calls us to stand up, to stand firm, to stand tall. This Thursday, or last Thursday, I should say, I did my last ever assembly for Youth for Christ. My time is coming to an end there, and you know what? I won't say what school it was in. I wanted just to really, it was my last assembly, and I thought, I want to go for it. It's my last one. There's 200 students in this hall. It's terrifying. And you've got to be really careful what you say in assemblies. Like, you can't push your faith on the young people. You're not allowed to do that. But you always have to come from a perspective of, as a Christian, I believe this. As a Christian, this is relevant to me in my life. And so we were doing a Christmas assembly, and we were talking about how the kind of commercial side of Christmas has got ridiculous, and actually the real meaning of Christmas is Jesus. And actually Jesus is, we don't just celebrate the birth of this baby boy, that actually it's the birth of this baby boy that grows up to be an amazing man that is still relevant in our lives today. And so I was coming to an end, and I was talking about how relevant Jesus is in my life today. And I've had teachers roll their eyes at me. I've had students roll their eyes at what I've said. But on Thursday, there was one teacher that stood on the side of the hall, and I gave a testimony of how God has been relevant in my life today. And she stood there and did this. To the point where everyone knew in the hall that she had just tutted at me and disregarded what I just said. And it threw me to a point where I could not finish my assembly. I froze, I stopped, I didn't really know what to do. I carried on, I stumbled my way through it. And as I was driving home, I was really disappointed and really low, and I thought, I've obviously offended her. I debated going to speak to her afterwards. I thought, no, I don't want to make things worse. And as I was leaving the assembly, I was driving home, I just felt God say to me, George, there are going to be people that don't like what you are and what you're about. And the face that actually, the truth is that when God calls us into something we're not very comfortable, we will face opposition. We will face people that do not like what we do and what we're about. And Moses went against a lot more than just a teacher on the side of the hall, tussing and saying, oh, that wasn't good, what you just said. Moses teaches us to stand up tall, to stand on who God is and who God is calling us to be. God is saying to us, we need to wake up, we need to look up, we need to open up, we need to stand up. And my whole up thing, it's not just to have clever titles in the preach, but actually for us to know that we want to be on the up as human beings. We want to be up. We want to move in Christ. We want to be moving in God and not being comfortable, not settling for where we might be in our Christian faith. We want to go deeper in him. And when we go deeper in him, we see God move in more amazing ways, and we want to see miracles and God do wonderful things. Amen? Guys, do you want to come up? Yeah. So we're going to pray. Actually, should we stand if you're happy to? Should we stand? So, I'd really like us to respond this morning. And a few weeks ago when we did our evening service, I'm very aware that people might say to me, oh, you're just doing the same as what you did a few weeks ago. But I do feel that we need to give an opportunity for people to pray for people who feel in their lives that they have got a little bit comfortable, that actually you've got a bit stagnant in your faith, that actually, whether it's to do with your past, whether it's something that you've done in the past and you feel like you can't move forward with Christ, or whether you just think that actually life's just really good and that actually I just need to wake up. I need to wake up to what God is doing. I need to wake up to what God is calling on my life. And so we're going to sing a song that I think is really appropriate to what we've been talking about this morning. And as we sing this song, I'm just going to encourage you to come forward if you want to. We're going to move into a time of worship afterwards. But if something just has hit a spot for you and something that you feel, oh, I just love prayer this morning, I don't want to go away without prayer, then come and there's tons of space at the front. Come and make your way up to the front, and we'd love to pray for you this morning.